From myths to models to madness. Annoying AI talking about interesting things.
Let's get started.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're going to be tackling something that I think is on a lot of people's minds these days, fake news. And we've got some really interesting sources that you've given us to work with. One is an academic research paper that really kind of gets into the nuts and bolts of fake news. And the other one is a study that looked at how and why people share news online, especially during something like the COVID-19 pandemic. And it seems like you're really interested in the bigger picture here, not just, you know, how to spot fake news, but like, why does this stuff spread so fast? What makes us vulnerable to it? And what are people doing to kind of fight back against it? So let's dive in.
Yeah, the why is definitely just as important as the what when it comes to fake news. It's a really complex issue with some pretty big consequences.
It really is. And it's kind of crazy to think that this term fake news has become so widespread that it was actually chosen as word of the year by multiple dictionaries in recent years.
Yeah, I mean, that just goes to show how big of a problem it's become, you know. And what's interesting is that even though this term is everywhere, experts still don't really agree on one single definition of what fake news actually is.
So how are we supposed to even wrap our heads around this if everyone's using this term differently?
Well, originally the term fake news really just referred to like news articles that were intentionally false, you know, just completely made up stuff. But as the problem has gotten bigger and more complex, the definition has also kind of evolved.
Okay, so we've got intentional falsehoods, which is scary enough on its own. But what about those times when, you know, people share something that's not true, but they don't even realize it? Like all of those supposed COVID-19 cures that were going around online. I remember seeing something about boiled garlic being like a miracle cure. Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one. And that's actually a really good example of the difference between disinformation and misinformation. So disinformation is something that's created and spread with the intent to cause harm, you know, like someone's actually trying to mislead people. But then you have misinformation, which is when someone shares something false, but they don't actually realize that it's not true. So it's more like an accident, but it can still be just as harmful, you know.
That's a really helpful distinction. So I guess like to unpack this a bit further, what kinds of fake news are actually out there?
Well, one way to categorize fake news is to look at the intent behind it. So like, was it created to deceive people on purpose? Or was it more about entertainment or making money? And that gives us some categories like satire, hoaxes, rumors, propaganda, clickbait, even conspiracy theories.
Wow, that's a pretty wide spectrum. So like, if someone claims that Elvis is still alive, that would be a hoax, right? Mm-hmm. And then all those flat earth theories would fall under like conspiracy theories.
Exactly. And then you've got satire, which often uses humor or exaggeration to comment on like current events. You know, it's not always meant to be deceptive, but it can definitely blur the lines between what's real and what's not. And then there's clickbait, which is all about getting you to click on something with a sensationalized headline or a misleading preview, even if the actual content is totally different.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how much fake news is out there. But I think the million-dollar question here is, like, why does this stuff spread so fast? Why is it everywhere?
Well, a lot of people like to blame algorithms and social media platforms, which definitely play a role, don't get me wrong. But a lot of the time, humans are actually the weakest link.
Wait, so you're saying that we're the problem?
In a way, yes. Lack of awareness is a huge problem. Mm-hmm. There was this one study that showed that way more people spread fake news unintentionally than intentionally. And what's even scarier is that most people are way too confident in their ability to spot fake news. You know,
yeah.
They think they're better at it than they actually are.
That is a little unsettling. So even if we have good intentions, we could still be contributing to the problem without even realizing it.
Absolutely. And it's not just about like knowing the facts. There's a whole psychological component to this too. You know, we humans have these cognitive biases like confirmation bias, where we tend to favor information that confirms what we already believe. And then there's motivated reasoning, where we basically try to justify our beliefs even when we're faced with evidence that contradicts them.
So it's not just about like lacking knowledge, it's about how our brains are wired.
Exactly. Even people with the best intentions can be vulnerable to these cognitive biases. We all have our own, you know, preconceived notions and ways of processing information. And those can definitely make us more susceptible to falling for fake news. So yeah, the human element is crucial to understanding why fake news spreads so effectively. We can't just blame the technology. We need to look at our own role in this whole thing.
It's kind of like humbling in a way to realize that we're all susceptible to fake news. But knowing all that now, what can we actually do about it? Like, are there ways to fight back against this?
Oh, absolutely. And that's what's so encouraging. So even though it's a really complex issue, there's actually a lot of research being done on fake news detection.
Yeah.
And we're seeing some really promising developments.
Oh, that's good to hear. So what are researchers working on? Like, is there some sort of magic formula to just filter out all the fake stuff?
I wish it were that easy. But there's actually a lot of interesting work being done with artificial intelligence, or AI. And these algorithms can actually be trained to kind of identify the subtle cues and patterns that often indicate fake news. It's like giving computers a crash course in critical thinking, you know, teaching them to recognize the signs.
That sounds pretty impressive, but I imagine there are some limitations with what AI can do, right?
Right. AI is a really powerful tool, but it's definitely not a silver bullet. Even the most advanced algorithms need a ton of data to be effective. And the thing is, those tactics that spread fake news, those are constantly evolving, too. It's like a constant arms race with researchers trying to stay one step ahead. And then, of course, there are ethical considerations, too. We don't want to create AI systems that censor legitimate content, you know, or stifle free speech.
That makes sense. AI can be a helpful tool, but it's not like the ultimate solution. So what about those organizations that are specifically dedicated to fact-checking? Are they making a difference?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Fact-checking organizations are doing some really important work. They're, you know, debunking false claims and holding sources accountable. And a lot of social media platforms are also starting to use fact-checking as part of their systems, too.
That's good to know. But I've also heard some people express concerns about, you know, how effective fact-checking can actually be. What happens when someone is already convinced of something, you know? Are they really going to change their mind just because a fact-checker tells them otherwise?
Yeah, that's a valid point.
So fact-checking definitely has its limitations.
It's really hard to reach those people who are most susceptible to misinformation. And then there's also the issue of scale. Like, fact-checkers simply can't keep up with the sheer volume of information that's being shared every day.
So it's a constant battle. Okay, so if AI isn't perfect and fact-checking has its limits, then what does this mean for us? What can we, like, as individuals do to protect ourselves from fake news?
That's the key question. While those systemic changes are really important, individual actions are just as critical. You know, you have the power to become a more discerning consumer of information.
I like the sound of that. So what are some, like, practical tips that we can use?
Well, the first and most important thing is to just be skeptical, especially when you're seeing content that's really emotionally charged or sensationalized. You know, ask yourself, what's the source of this information? Is this coming from a reliable source?
So don't just share something because it makes you angry or outraged?
Exactly. Take a breath and think about it first. And before you share anything, try to check it against a couple of other sources to make sure it's being reported consistently. Look for reporting that's based on evidence, not just opinions.
That makes sense. But what about those times when we find ourselves, you know, kind of gravitating towards information that confirms our existing beliefs? Like, how can we break free from that?
Well, that's where being aware of your own biases comes in. We all have biases, but recognizing them can help us to avoid falling into those echo chambers where we only see information that reinforces what we already think. So it's about actively seeking out different viewpoints, you know, and being willing to challenge our own assumptions.
It's easy to get comfortable in our own little bubbles, but, like, we really need to step outside of those sometimes. Are there any other, like, specific resources that you'd recommend for fact-checking and staying informed?
Oh, there are some great fact-checking websites out there like PolitiFact and Snopes. And a lot of reputable news organizations have their own dedicated fact-checking teams, too. The key is to be proactive and make fact-checking a regular part of your routine. Like, think of it as a workout for your brain.
So we need to be like detectives, constantly investigating the information that we're seeing.
Exactly. The more you practice that critical thinking and questioning, the better you'll get at spotting fake news. And actually, you know that study you mentioned earlier about sharing intentions? Well, that one actually sheds some light on why people share information online, especially during times of uncertainty.
Yeah, this is what I find so fascinating, the whole psychology behind sharing. So what did this study find?
Well, one of the key findings was that people who had less knowledge about a certain topic were more likely to believe misinformation, especially if it was presented in a video format. You know.
So it's not just about what we're sharing, but how it's presented, too.
Exactly. The format can have a huge impact.
What else did this study find?
They also looked at the role of emotions in sharing. You know, sometimes we share things simply because they make us feel something, whether it's anger, sadness, or happiness. It's totally natural to want to connect with other people through shared emotions.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, when you see that heartwarming video of a rescued animal, you just got to share it. But how does that relate to fake news?
Well, the study actually found that people were more likely to share fake news if it made them feel a strong emotion, even if they knew it was fake. It's almost like the emotion overrides their better judgment, you know?
Wow, that is fascinating. So even if we know something is fake, we might still share it because of how it makes us feel. It seems like understanding the psychology of sharing is just as important as being able to spot fake news.
That's exactly right. It all comes back to that human element. We're all emotional creatures, and our emotions can really influence our online behavior. So to fight fake news effectively, we need to be aware of those emotions and how they might be affecting our choices.
It's crazy how much we've learned about fake news just now. It's a lot to take in. Like, there are so many different angles to consider.
It really is a deep dive. And as we've been talking about, there's no easy answer. It takes a lot of effort from a lot of different places.
Yeah, like what's been really striking me is how interconnected the human element and the technology are, you know? We can't just blame algorithms or bots or whatever. Like, we have to acknowledge that we play a part in this whole thing too.
Absolutely. Whether we're sharing things without checking them or letting our emotions get the best of us, you know?
Totally.
It's all connected.
So I guess the main takeaway here is that we need to be way more critical when we're online.
Especially on social media.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Think before you share, you know? Double-check the source. And don't just look for things that confirm what you already believe.
Yeah, we have to be willing to, like, challenge our own assumptions.
Exactly.
It's so easy to just stay in our little echo chambers, but it's so important to break out of those.
Definitely.
And it's not just about finding information that supports our beliefs. It's about, like, being committed to the truth.
Thank God.
Even if it's uncomfortable, even if it's something we don't want to hear.
It's not always easy, but it's so important.
This whole deep dive has been a real eye-opener for me. It's made me realize that this isn't just about learning a few tricks or, you know, relying on technology to fix everything.
It's much bigger than that.
It's like a whole new way of thinking about information.
A whole new mindset.
And a big part of that is being more skeptical, being more committed to finding the truth.
And being open to changing our minds.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, the research and education in this area is so important. The more we understand about how misinformation spreads, the better we'll be able to fight back against it.
So for all of you listening out there, what are your big takeaways from all of this? Now that you've learned all about how fake news works, how do you feel about your own role in all of this? It's something to think about, for sure.
It's a constant process of learning and being aware.
And remember, this deep dive has just scratched the surface. There's so much more to explore.
Oh, yeah, tons.
Like how misinformation spreads across all these different platforms and the role that emotions play in all of this and all the ethical questions that come with these AI solutions.
It's an incredibly complex issue.
But it's also fascinating.
For sure.
And it's something that, you know, we all need to be paying attention to.
Absolutely.
So keep learning, keep questioning everything, and keep diving deeper.
Don't ask what AI can do for you. Ask what you can do with AI.
Let's go.
Empower yourself at virtualstorylab.com.